Welcome to Pod of Orcas. I'm Justin Cox with the Sea Doc Society, and today I'm joined first off by Madison Churchill. Say hi, Madison.
Hi.
So Madison helps with social media and communications at the Sea Doc Society. We're going to talk for a second to kind of introduce you in this episode, and then you're going to hear from the entire Sea Doc Society team. What was this year for you?
I went back to school this year, so I've started my master's program.
Yeah, you did.
So moved from Washington down to California, which has been a really big change for me, but it's been very exciting.
Elaborate on that. You're at Scripps and you're studying what?
Yeah, so I am at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, pursuing a master's in marine biodiversity and conservation. Being able to still be a part of Sea Doc Society while I'm going to school has been a nice connection back to the Salish Sea for me, kind of still getting to be in that headspace of Washington Salish Sea science. That's been really good for me while I've been going to school.
You're like down in San Diego and you can still feel the cold water and the rain and the trees and all of it. I like it.
Exactly. It's perfect.
I'm going to say my little reflection is going to be, because I know this is a very distinctly me answer, is going to be the bluefin tuna that was found on Orcas Island that kind of had its whole little life on social media that we both got to watch happen together, very popular social media post. And then we covered it on this podcast. And then last week, I took a ferry over to Friday Harbor, picked up the skeleton of that fish and brought it down to the Burke Museum. So in the next few months, they're going to be putting that skeleton in with a bunch of beetles that will eat the biological matter off of its bones. And then they'll put it on display at the Burke Museum in time.
Definitely a great memory for me as well. Just such a weird thing that happened. And beetles. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that development. Do the beetles live at the Burke Museum or where?
I love that question because yes, they do. And when I brought the skeleton there, first off, the people at the Burke Museum were like excited to receive it. And then as we brought it through, like to go store it in a freezer, every single person who we kind of walked by on the way through the museum stopped and was like super excited. Like it was a really fun, genuine, exciting moment to bring that through. And then Catherine, who was the person who received the tuna upon arrival, she kind of showed me where the beetle colony is. And it's in this one room that's kind of locked in its own way to like get access to it. And she said it's on its own HVAC system and everything. It's like part of the Burke Museum, but so deliberately sectioned off and contained in a way that like what she's basically suggesting, I mean, they're careful. It's not like this is going to happen, but if the beetles were out in some form, you can count on them to just basically eat up the Burke Museum. That's me a little bit elaborating on it, but the like level of precaution around caring for it was really cool. Thanks to Adam Summers and thanks to Catherine and the Burke Museum people for letting me be a part of that little transfer. It was cool.
Dang, very cool.
All right. Thank you all for listening to Pod of Orcas. If you want to support the creation of this show and the Sea Doc Society's work in general, you can go to seadocsociety.org. All of our work is donor funded. And you're going to hear right now from some of the people who help make that work possible. Thank you, Madison.
Thank you.
Kat Lowe is research assistant at the Sea Doc Society, and Leanne Gilmer is regional director. How did y'all feel about 2023? Kat, what are you going to remember about this year?
I have so many memories to look back on, but I think one of my favorite ones is actually a pretty simple one, but it kind of makes me smile whenever I think about it. And I was diving along Belle Island with Bob and Joe. And that day, Justin, you and Michelle were out on the boat with us, driving Molly B and tending for us. And I remember it was like a decent weather topside. And then when we finished our dive and came up, it was like a whole 180 switch. It was cold. It was misty. No fun. No blue skies. I was like, oh, man, I felt terrible. They probably had a miserable time up there. But anyway, we were diving along Belle Island.
Quick pause. Yeah. The idea that you're like down at the bottom of the sea in the freezing cold, feeling sorry for how we're feeling on the top is insane, but keep going.
I mean, it's totally different though, because like I'm suited up for that kind of condition. That's and true. I'm going down for a purpose and it's really fun. But then you guys are just like hanging out, obviously making sure that everyone's safe. but you have to deal with this terrible weather outside. So
it is like what she's saying is a good point. Like it is like you're fending off like changing winds that can send you into rocks that you got to pay attention to divers and all that. Totally all true. I will say that as far as suiting up and gear goes, we have team members who are literally wearing like vests with electricity running through them and stuff like that. So we're geared up. We're geared up too.
But still trying to keep track of the divers amid all of those conditions. That's, you know, that's stressful.
It's a lot. It is a lot. Yeah. All right. So what was your moment?
Oh yeah. So we were down there doing a survey for Reef Environmental Education Foundation, as well as like a rockfish survey. And I mean, if you know cold water diving, it's your field of view is so small. It's really limited to kind of like your flashlight. And I remember swimming along and I see this arm sticking out under a rock and I'm like freaking out because it's a giant Pacific octopus and it's just hanging out right there in front of us. Such beautiful animals, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm over here super excited. I turn to my left, trying to get Joe's attention by like shining my light in front of his face. And he finally realizes what I'm looking at. So then he turns to his left and he's trying to get Bob's attention. And, you know, Bob is so good at getting his crazy, amazing footage of cool animals and he's super focused. And meanwhile, it's just really funny to look back on because like on the side, Joe and I are just like waving back and forth, freaking out, being like, Bob, look over here. So, yeah. When he finally realizes what we're freaking out about, he turns and sees it. And then we just all had this moment of like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing. So I think at that point I was already screaming into my regulator, just so excited. But I just think in those moments, it's really funny. And it's really fun to see because you can't really communicate that well underwater, obviously. But when you all are in the exact same moment realizing something amazing is happening, you all know exactly what the other person's thinking. And it's just awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. Leanne, have you had, I feel like that feeling of being topside when you guys come up from a thing like that and the sort of like the slow kind of like unfolding of like how elated, like what you just saw. Cause sometimes you went and you come up and you're like, yeah, I saw one baby rockfish. I mean, no, you see more than that, but like, The goal that day wasn't to go down and find a giant Pacific octopus, but you found one. And then as you come up, it's fun, excitement, topside.
It reminds me, Kat, as you were telling that story, I was remembering back in May when we were up with the boating and diving safety team from UC Davis, the Bodega Bay Marine Lab guys. And you were all going out for a test dive. And I remember we were getting you all suited up, you know, getting our dive flags out, making sure that we'd be safe topside so that we could watch you as you're down below and making sure that the dive went as planned. And all of a sudden there were these two humpbacks. It was a mama and baby that just, you know, kind of crested right near the boat, probably, gosh, like 50 yards from the boat or something. And Kat, I remember you in particular, because you were like, get me in there, get me in there, get me. You wanted to jump in so quickly. And it's like, hold on. We still got to do all of our, you know, buddy checks and everything like that. But you were so eager to go in. And then the whole time as we're, you know, up topside, tracking the bubbles, making sure that we're trying to stay away from the rocks, all of those sorts of things. Just wondering, like, did they get to see those whales? And as you're coming up, and there's, of course, the delay because we've got everybody's hands are numb, I feel like, by that time. So we're trying to help you take off your flippers, take off your gloves, all of that sort of thing, take off the weights for buoyancy control. And then we're just wondering, what did you see down there? And inevitably, there's this, you know, silent time while everybody's trying to help get everybody on the boat. And then all of a sudden, it's just this like release of, oh my gosh, did you see that? And I was trying to point you this way. And did you see that rockfish and all of those sorts of things? So I didn't think you guys saw the whales at that point, but just seeing them topside and Kat, seeing how eager you were to like, get me down there. That was so much fun.
That phase you talk about of like when they come up and there's like 6.5 minutes of just like taking cold, wet weights and fins off and stuff. It's like no one's communicating yet because there's like stuff to be done. But then afterward, there's like sort of like a, oh, okay, I'm ready to talk now.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I love that story and I'm glad I was cool to see you all that day. Leanne, any notable things that stand out from 2023 for you looking back as we get ready to turn the calendar?
Yeah, well, one, I know that Kat had to miss because another highlight, she went to see Taylor Swift this past year. So was part of that I think you guys caused an earthquake in Seattle for that show. So that was pretty exciting.
That may have happened.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty memorable. Pretty memorable. But yeah, I think that day in particular, first of all, Justin, it was your birthday. Yeah. And then also we had our first in-person wine and sea auction since 2019. So I joined CDOC in 2021. So I hadn't seen this event in person, and we have done all of these virtual events, which have been super fun and really have, I think, you know, expanded our creativity, because we're trying to come up with something fun like this. How can you make a Zoom call fun after all of these years of endless Zoom calls? And so we were doing what we could there, but then there was just all of this anticipation to get together. Then we had over 230 people come together, and just the energy was so much fun. And of course, we had it at Sharon and Greg Maffei's house, and all of our committee, all of our board members, all of the donors who came together, and people hadn't seen each other in years. And there was just so much excitement and enthusiasm. And after that event, I think I was just on a high for like a week afterward, because it was just seeing that many people come together, seeing people who are really jazzed about what CDOC is doing and wanting to support that, because of course, all of our work is only possible through donor support. It was just so exciting to see how dedicated and how passionate this community is about the place that we love, the Salish Sea, and to see all of those people together and just have a good time with wine, with the auction. It was just so much fun. And it was sort of like, after those 4 years of just kind of, what is this going to be like when we're able to get together? It was just more than I could have ever imagined. So that was definitely a highlight for me in 2023. It's something that we've all been looking forward to for a long time. And to be able to come together was just, you know, better, I think, than any of us could have imagined.
I agree. I think there was this big, like, sort of ramp up lift to like getting back in the swing of it. But I think we all talked about it in the planning, like, we got a lot of value and learned a lot and had a lot of fun with all the like virtual ones. And it was an opportunity that you don't, the kind of opportunity that only springs out of like necessity. But then we all had this feeling of like, it's going to be nice to just be among the people who helped this work happen, and among the people who care about this place on a sunny day, maybe having a glass of wine. Like, once I remember vividly, like in the moment, maybe it was around like standing, watching the Octopus Award, which you should talk about in a second, just being like, yep, this is exactly that feeling that we described and hoped that this would be. Like, it just felt really good and communal in a way that you can't like fully mimic that in a virtual space.
Absolutely. And like you were just talking about the Octopus Award. So this is an award that CDOC Society has given out before, but we don't give it out every year. And so we just felt like this was an opportunity to really highlight two people in particular. And those are Martha Kongsgaard and Stephanie Solin. They've been so involved in Salish Sea restoration, recovery, protection for decades now. And both had been on the Puget Sound Partnership Leadership Council, which is overseeing all of these health indicators of how can we track everything that's going on in this ecosystem. It was just super, super fun to be able to honor them together. And they call each other their Salish Sea sisters. So that was really, really fun to get them together to hand out these Octopus Awards. And then of course, each of them had given a speech at the event, and they were just, I think, the highlight of the show.
They were amazing.
So much fun.
It felt cool to recognize them. And then it was like, once they actually were up there speaking, it was like very organically inspiring. How are y'all feeling about 2024? Anything giving you hope? Anything driving you? Just broadly, we're entering a new year. How are you feeling about it?
I feel great about it. I'm really looking forward to all the exciting things that we're going to do as a team together and whoever we work with in the future as well. I think it's going to be really exciting. And definitely something I'm looking forward to is some daylight savings.
God, tell me about it.
I really like sunshine. And I just like am looking forward to the times where it's not pitch black at 4 p.m. every day anymore. And so I can go do things outside.
I had like a 3-minute thing yesterday where I think I just like kind of hunched to my left and just like stared blankly into my sad lamp, seasonal affective disorder lamp. I was just like, I'm just going to take this moment to drink in whatever this thing is giving me. If it's giving me anything, we'll see. But yeah, I feel you. I'm looking forward to that too.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yes, and pretty soon here, we're going to turn around. The days are going to start getting longer. It's going to be great. So let's hold out hope for that. But Yeah, I was just going to say another thing. So going back to 2023 and also what gives me hope for 2024 is at that auction, at the end of our paddle raise, which is so important to raise funding for our operations, Joe Gatos had gotten up and he had said, you know, we have this opportunity to do some killer whale health work this summer when the southern residents are in the Salish Sea region. And so he asked people to step up and give an extra gift if they could. And so people did. And truly that event, the money that was raised from the people at that event during that ask made our season of killer whale health work possible. And so there was one day where I was up on Orcas and Joe said, "Hey, Leanne, what are you doing today? Can you come out on the boat with us?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to go out on the boat with you." And so I got to join Kat and Joe, and we've got the NOAA folks. We've got the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance folks. We've got Maya Sears, these people who are just, they're so incredible because they can look at whales and just see from the saddle patches and everything, just immediately identify which of these southern residents this whale is. And so it's incredible to be out on the boat with these brilliant people who are so passionate. And we were out on the Zodiac, which is this little rigid hull inflatable, and we were among J-Pod, and I had never seen southern residents. So I've lived in this region almost 20 years. I have never seen southern residents in person, and in my person.
You're not alone in that. That's a common thing for people.
Yeah. And so it was just, you know, one of those things where I was just, as we're among them on the NOAA permit and making sure that we're getting these samples from their blow so that we could see what's going on. Are they stressed? Is there a high level of cortisol in there? Are they, you know, are there any pregnancies, that sort of thing? And Joe kept trying to get, he was just like, "Leanne, let me get a picture of you." So he was trying to get me to face him with the whales behind me. And I was just like, "Hurry it up, because I want to turn around and take a look at these whales." I was just truly mesmerized. And so luckily, I was able to, among the thousands of pictures that I had taken, probably most of nothing, but there were these two whales that spy hopped, and I think it was a mama and baby, and they're sort of almost leaning into each other. And I think, Justin, you have it on our homepage right now, but I was able to capture that, and it was just one of those things where it was just absolutely, you know, you fall in love with this ecosystem, with the wildlife, and it was just one of those things where I was just truly in awe, and it just made us all want to double down on the work that we're doing. And again, all of that was because of the donors at the Wine and Sea auction who had made that work possible. So
there's a very direct line from raise this money, this donor supported money. And literally 2 months later, a collaborative team of people are out on the water gathering information for health records and helping basically advance the science and technology that's used to even gather in the first place. And it's happening year over year and in perpetuity, because it's the way it works. It's the way conservation works in this place and all over the world. And I don't want to anthropomorphize, but the two whales, that picture you captured, they're nuzzling. The two whales are nuzzling each other.
They pretty totally much are.
Leanne, I have to say, you came out on probably one of the most spectacular days that we had with whales. And I just watching you like shine, it was awesome to see. Like, you were so happy, and I loved seeing that for you, and I'm so happy that you had that experience. And seriously, you need to add wildlife photography in your CV, because you are so good. Like, you got more than just one good picture, by the way. Amazing photos. Whales were doing you good that day.
Really love talking to both of you, love working with both of you, and look forward to doing it some more next year. Thanks for stopping by this little end of year hangout pod of Orcas, you know.
Awesome. And Justin, this is one of my favorite podcasts, and I love podcasts, so that's saying something. So thank you both for all your work. It is such an honor to work with you, and looking forward to another year of it.
Thank you both. Did you get the little it's recording message?
Oh, we got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got it. We got it. Okay, Erica Nielsen and Michelle Homewood, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. correct me on this, but my description of you two, you're sort of unseen kind of people most of the time, unless we have like an in-person auction with 200-300 people around. But almost all of what you're seeing, whether it's science, whether it's development, whether it's communications, you're sort of connected and kind of at the center of that hub. Almost all of these things are kind of funneling through you as they become real things. And on that front, as it relates to SeaDoc Society, how did 2023 feel?
2023 was great. It was the kind of the first real world in person back doing things kind of that felt, dare I say, normal.
It did, right?
So it was exciting. It was a relearning year.
Speaking specifically to you, Erica, like we are people who came on to SeaDoc Society a year or two prior to the pandemic happening. And so a lot of these things that came back this year, we had 3 years essentially of this kind of different reality. And this year was like demonstrably, it's not to say the pandemic's over or anything like that, but it was the year that like, oh, wow, like we're doing the things that we did in 2019 again, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There was something kind of cool and exciting about it to me, at least. What do you think?
Almost like a flashback, you know, like, oh, okay, this is how this was. That's right. So yeah, it felt good.
Yeah. And I was hired during 2020. So I had never experienced this version of SeaDoc before. And it was really, really great to see that in-person auction and kind of see what SeaDoc's operations without a pandemic as an umbrella over all of our operations.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like some of what you're doing, I mean, this is like work that's happening on both sides of the border. I mean, we're on Orcas Island. Some of that involves moving around the Salish Sea. So like you came on at a time when there was essentially no travel, right?
Uh-huh.
Did that just like slowly increase over time and in 2023 become like, all right, we're back at it. We're in person collaborating and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just travel with our team, but all the people we collaborate with and all the experts that are coming to the region. Definitely that ramped up a lot this year.
Sweet. So, I mean, this year feels like a year where we all got together and we all got to hang out. I know I felt that way with all of you as we kind of round the corner into 2024. How are you feeling about it? Whether it's what's bringing you hope or just, I don't know, looking ahead at 2024. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited with how excited our supporters were to be kind of back in the fold again. You could feel the energy coming back into this year too. And it seems like everybody's got a lot of big ideas that, you know, it'll be fun to see what is pursued and what we can accomplish in the next year.
Basically, everybody who makes a donation to SeaDoc Society gets a personal phone call. And so you kind of have back and forth conversations with a lot of these people, right? Like, can you feel that excitement in those conversations?
Oh, yeah. It's funny too. Even just yesterday, I called one of our donors and, you know, I try to make them short and not too intense and sometimes people appreciate that. And sometimes people want to like, no, I want to tell you a story and what happened, you know, heard about an elephant seal yesterday around Whidbey from one of our donors. And so, yeah, I get to hear Salish Sea experiences from all over. There's definitely excitement to be part of what's happening with SeaDoc and what we've got going on both sides of the border of Canada and US. And
it strikes me as really cool and special. And I'd imagine like if you're going to support an organization and like science doesn't just happen because you drop some money in a bucket or donate it online, there's like people that have to set it all in motion. I don't know. But I think it's pretty rare that you just get a direct little line. And then what we can learn from hearing from them is you're not going to get that just in like website analytics and things like that. That's like a personal thing. It's cool.
And the callback to Jenny Han and her project, you know, sometimes our projects and the ideas come from people who interact with us and see a need. So you never know where the next big thing is going to come from.
Michelle, what mountains are you going to climb in 2024? Both physical mountains in the world and metaphorical mountains in your life and SeaDoc Society's existence.
I do have a goal to take a mountaineering course this year so that I can climb glaciated mountains without a guide. So that is
cool.
Something that I'm looking forward to. One thing I really like about SeaDoc is we're always kind of looking critically at where we're investing our time and our energy. And I think that the conversations that we have within our staff and our board and with our donors we do a great job of trying to make sure that we are putting our energy in ways that actually make a difference.
People are doing this work and it doesn't just happen on its own. You have to keep it all moving and push it through and make it do something for the environment. Good checking in with both of you and look forward to more of it in 2024.
See you then.
Thanks, Justin.
Bob Friel, producer of Sailor Sea Wild, Joe Gatos, science director for the Sea Dog Society. Welcome. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
All right, Bob, to you first. This time last year, we published the Sailor Sea Wild episode about a sea lion rescue. Very exciting one. And in the months since then, we've had one about rockfish, harbor seals, killer whale science and tech, a big old sturgeon up in the Fraser River, and the removal of a deadly ghost net. That's just kind of a rundown of this year. That's a pretty amazing set of stories to tell, I think. Any memories that'll stick with you for this year or feelings about it?
I love how we did the extremes. You know, I mean, with the rockfish, we were down there looking for tiny little fingernail sized rockfish. And then, you know, an episode or two later, we're tagging these gigantic sturgeon. And then we're dealing with killer whales, you know, with the cutting edge health research that we're doing. So I love the difference that we get to do. I love that SeaDoc is involved in, you know, top to bottom of the ecosystem and trying to heal all these things. And, you know, as Joe loves to say, you know, science is hard and I've got a great job because I get to go out. These scientists are working, you know, 300 days a year and they get to go out on a boat 1 week a year or so. But that's when I get to go out and and then film them doing the most exciting, visual part of their job. And then they do all the hard work in the lab and everything else after that. So every time I'm working on one, that's my new favorite episode. And that happened this year, time after time. The story of the sea lion was just such a great natural narrative. And then getting to do an homage to the harbor seals and their superpowers. And, I love that we got to, you know, we like to play around with subjects and, you know, getting Joe with, showing his skull collection and everything for the harbor seals. And we've got to play with some graphics and other things. So, there's not one moment. I can pick favorite moments from all of them.
Love it. It's really cool to watch the organic process of these come together because they're not just like Wikipedia articles in video form. They're stories, and a stellar sea lion rescue or removing a ghost net is like, it's like a, hey, this thing is happening in the environment now. Let's go respond to it and do this and document it and tell the story. So it's not just a one-off thing that is good, but is gone the moment that happens. And then some of these other ones are like, people don't know the story with rockfish or have any even comprehension of sturgeon. I mean, I admittedly didn't know much. What about you, Joe? Any highlights?
I didn't know about the sturgeon that Bob was going to put me on the end of a fishing pole with a fish that weighed more than I do and was going to throw me in the water. So no, like Bob said, every episode is so amazing because we're just reminded how fantastic this place is. And one of the things, you know, as you were rolling through all those episodes, I started thinking, I mean, there is this consistent theme of hope and change for the better in all of them. Northwest Straits Foundation removing almost 7,000 derelict fishing nets, the amount of animals that's saving, the fact that despite all the changes that we've had to our rivers, we still have these sturgeon that can live to be 100 years old, weigh 1,000 pounds, and migrate from the Klamath River all the way up to the Fraser River in the open ocean. You know, I love that stuff. It just, and the harbor seals, we worry about harbor seals, how many do we have? And, you know, what's the impact with sea lions? There's a lot of controversy there, but the fact of the matter is this is a huge success story that just happened over the last 40 years, really, that we were able to save this species. So a lot of really cool stuff. And just a reminder that there's some good stuff happening out there in the ecosystem.
Science entertainment, as we call it.
Bam. Yeah, I love that. I love that term because it's all facts, right? It's not feel facts. It's real facts. And they can still be entertaining thanks to, you know, Bob's expertise.
Totally. Well, what's cool is like it's a science-based organization, but Joe, you put this better than me, but like the science is not happening on its own. The communications and storytelling is not happening on its own. That's all happening sort of in confluence with each other in our work every day. Like we did fund some I don't want you to list off all the projects if you don't have them all in your head, but like, I don't know, the year in science that we helped make possible.
I mean, in addition to doing research, we fund experts to do needed research, right? That's a big part of what we do. We can't fund all the research, but we can fund stuff that's really pressing, that's asking questions, that's going to help us find solutions. And so this year we funded, everything from eelgrass project to a marine bird project to, mammals. It's the diversity is just there because we have questions about all of that stuff. And the cool thing this year too, is we funded two tribal specific projects. We went out to the tribes and First Nations and we said, you tell us where you need information to make decisions. We forget that the tribes and the First Nations are co-managers and they've been here forever. And they use traditional ecological knowledge, but they use modern day science as well. And so that was a really big thing for us to be able to go to them and say, hey, we're here to help fund you to answer some questions. So let's do this. I was really excited about that.
We're talking about a team. You're hearing it from the whole entire Sea Doc Society team, essentially, on this podcast. You two are the last two voices. And it's like that size team. I mean, that size team couldn't do all that science. That size team couldn't go remove all those nets and everything. It feels like a real value proposition within the Sea Doc Society. It's almost like amplifying the impact of science, amplifying the impact of storytelling, connecting people. And I don't know, it's an awesome thing to be a part of. Felt it a lot this year.
I mean, Bob's from Philly, and so he always talks about Rocky, but we're definitely punching above our weight on all this stuff. And I love the integration too, because the science alone, Dave Jessup is always saying, it's not, the science isn't done until the story is told. And telling that story, whether it be through this podcast or through Bob's work, Sailor Sea Wild, that's what people listen to. That's what affects them. That's what makes them change, whether they're a policymaker or whether they're, a soccer dad or something like that.
We make this episode of Sailor Sea Wild, and next thing you know, it's on like the state's killer whale task force website. These become tools for organizations, right? Like,
yeah, it's great. And it's that, you're talking about amplifying, it's the partnerships. I mean, I've always, since before I started working with Sea Doc, that's what one of the main things I've always admired is that Joe and the organization have been able to take whatever money they can raise from donors, and it's amplified. It does more than what you would think a dollar would do because of the partnerships that Sea Doc has been able to engender throughout the entire region, whether it's with the tribes, whether it's with the Canadians, the governments, the NGOs, everything else. It's really one of the most impressive things I think about Sea Doc. It's really like a nexus kind of organization for the entire Salish Sea.
Yeah. Like, in addition to that individual important project you're funding, there's a spirit of collaboration across that. Like, the end goal here is to preserve the environment and ensure a better future. And that's not happening unless Sea Doc Society alone is not doing that. You have to all be working together on that, right?
Yeah. And Sailor Sea Wild is a great example, because a lot of times, we're shining light on somebody's lifetime of work. Maybe we funded some of it, maybe we didn't, but the story needs to be told, and telling it in a way that people are inspired. I was up at the elementary school the other day, and I was walking through with one of the older coaches that all the kids love. And we walked by a bunch of fifth graders coming in from recess. And they said, that's him. That's him. And I thought, okay, we'll take a break. They all want to come hug coach again. And then they ran back and they're like, are you from Sailor Sea Wild? I was like, yeah. Oh, me. Yeah. How many sturgeons have you caught? I love that. I saw a harbor seal once, and they just were just firing off. And I was like, wow, I had no idea we were just inspiring people to this level. It was super fun. I wish you both could have been there.
So legit. Well, I mean, I have a fifth grader who lives in my house, and he's come home from school multiple times telling me that.
Yeah.
And I think he gets the cool experience of being like, yeah, bro, I saw that. I saw that before it was even out. I saw the screener of that.
I am the test audience, right?
Yeah. Well, as this year buttons up, anything, how you feeling about going into 2024 personally, scientifically, organizationally, anything?
I think it was one of the last dives we've done. I mean, you get to see what I film, and of course it feels like I miss as much as I collect, but we still get some amazing things. But we were down there, Joe Cat and I were down looking at some evidence of sea star wasting disease for something that CDOC and we've all been involved in for a long time. And Joe and I are looking at a sea star and suddenly Kat's trying to get our attention. We're like, leave us alone. We're watching this thing. And so finally we look over and there's a 12-foot giant Pacific octopus that she's checking out. That was kind of, because a real dark day and it was kind of outside its thing. And we got to play with that and you got to post a little thing. So, I mean, I love those surprises. I mean, I know what we're working on. I mean, right now I'm working on my new favorite episode, which is about abalone, which is, again, you know, talk about an example of something where science is hard and it takes a long time. And, you know, people may fund CDOC right now and money goes into that. But, you know, science and recovering species, recovering an ecosystem takes a long time. This is a project that's been going on. Joe can correct me, but I think since 2009 or so, and CDOC has been involved a lot in that. And, you know, we're telling the story now because this, it's really ramping up and it's becoming a better story. It's a more positive story. We're seeing the results of all of that hard work, and to see something that is functionally extinct and but not heading towards real extinction. It's heading towards recovery because of work that we've been involved in. So that's a great story. And we're working on gray whales, which are another great story about how the Salish Sea is nurturing this one population of gray whales amid this entire Pacific unusual mortality event of gray whales. So I'm excited for everything we do, every episode we shoot, every time we go out and dive. It's always, they're all my favorite moments. So
I can't wait for both of those. And also earlier in this episode, Kat told the story of the octopus. So I love that full circle perspective on it. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, we have a bunch of new opportunities to fund projects again. And so we're talking with donors now. We've got this end of the year campaign going on where people are making investments. And it's looking like, you know, if things continue to go well, we're going to continue to fund tribal and First Nation projects. And we're going to continue to fund other science projects in areas where we think the results of these are going to be able to continue to improve things. So for me, I love it. I love that we just keep moving forward, always trying to do more, always trying to do better. And then thanks to you two, tell that story about what's happening so people can be engaged. If we're not looking forward, if we're not making things better, people can become, you know, they can lose hope, right? And that's the worst thing, is to be hopeless. And so I'm excited about the next year coming up and even doing more.
I mean, I sat in on a meeting with you and Leanne just this morning that was forward-looking just like that. And it gets you excited and energized, and yeah, you have to have that. There's a lot of things to think about in the world. And you're only making progress if you're actively putting that energy into it. And I feel excited going into next year too. And I don't know if you hear this podcast before the end of the year, we have, thanks to a couple of generous donor families, all donations going to be matched. So your donation is worth double in that time. So if you feel compelled, cdocsociety.org.
Yeah, I felt compelled and I donated.
Thank you. You can look for a personal phone call from Erica in the coming day or two. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Joe. Look forward to all the stuff we got coming in the next year. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast and for supporting this organization and making not only the show possible, but all the work you heard about today.
Thank you.
Go Team CDOC.
If you would like to support the work you heard about today and the creation of this show, you can go to cdocsociety.org. Every gift will be matched dollar for dollar between now and the end of the year, thanks to two very generous donor families. That's cdocsociety.org, or you can hit the link in the description of this show. Thank you for listening to Pod of Orcas. Thank you for supporting the CDOC Society and our work here in the Salish Sea. Have a great holiday season and Happy New Year.